this episode of Voices in Art, I sat down with Hull resident and professional water media artist Michael Domino. We discussed his style and approach to creating art. We also spoke about how fear can hold you back and discussed what helped Michael realize that he was an artist. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
You know, I never dreamed I'd be an artist. Well, I shouldn't say that. I always dreamed I'd be an artist. But I took some detours. And I ended up working for an insurance company in Boston for 21 years. And luckily, I got so disenchanted and frustrated with that I was doing my artwork on the side a little bit and started winning some awards and got more and more into my art and finally was able to say, you know what, bye-bye.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty blessed that I can do this on a full-time basis.
Yeah.
So I like to, and teaching is a big part of my
what I
do as well.
That's cool.
So primarily I started in watercolor because that was my training, and I got pretty proficient, I think, in watercolor, and I was asked to start teaching it, and that's where, that's when I had enough nerve, I guess, to quit my day job.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is actually happening, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like that ball actually starts rolling.
Yep.
Yeah, I like what you were saying too. You're like, I never dreamed I'd be an artist. Well, actually, I did, you know what I mean? It's that thing where it's almost like, a lot of people, I think, have that feeling where it's like, it's not that you never dreamed you'd be an artist, it's that you'd never dreamed you'd actually be an artist.
Right.
You know, you always wanted to be, but it's like, is it ever going to actually happen?
Right.
I feel like it's a question a lot of artists find themselves asking themselves before they really get started.
Right.
You know?
That's
really cool.
Well, a big part of it, too, I have to give credit to my husband because, you know, he picks up the slack and he gives me a lot of support. And, you know, if I had to do it all on my own, I don't think we'd be standing here today or sitting here today.
Every artist needs a good patron.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so great.
Yeah.
So when did you start teaching?
About, I'm going to say 20 plus years ago, maybe 25 years ago.
Cool.
I was still working full time and I was asked to teach an evening class several years in a row. And I kept saying, no, I can't do this. I've never taught. And I finally gave in. I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And it turns out I loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, and then I developed a following. And now when I, you know, here, when I'm teaching here in the summer months and then in Florida for the winter months, I've developed quite a following of students in both places that are anxious to and look forward to having me back.
So you summer down in Florida?
Yes.
That's great.
Yep.
That's a cool way to do it. So you've got two sort of markets.
I know. I never saw that in the cards coming.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened.
Look what happens when you follow your dreams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
right.
So cool.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting, so a part of why I like doing this podcast is because, or why I want to do this podcast is because I like to meet artists who are successful and try and figure out what happened that made them successful, because there's so many people out there that want to be able to become a successful artist.
Yeah.
And I just feel like learning through experience and from people who have done it actually is probably the best way to do it. So I just think that's interesting the way you were saying, like, it was years that you were being approached to do this teaching. And it's like, so you were saying that maybe you felt unprepared and that's why you didn't want to do it?
Yeah, I just had never thought of doing that, and I didn't know the first step, but I figured, well, I'll just do what my art instructors did and taught what they call a paint-along style.
Cool.
And that worked for me, and that's what my students like. So I'm not just saying, here, do this, and they're like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, so, and I don't, you know, I try to keep them relaxed and tell them not to worry. There's no, you know, I'm going to take you through it step by step. And I don't expect them to know how to draw. If there's images that have to be symmetrical, like buildings or lighthouses, such things like that, I let them trace it. because mm-hmm. you know, I'm not there to teach them how to draw. That's just, that's another whole new thing. Mm-hmm. They want to paint.
Right.
So anytime we need to get a good shape, I let them trace the shape, and then we go from there.
That's a good idea. I could see how that would work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So do you want to maybe talk about your style a little bit?
Sure.
What you like to do?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I think for most artists, we all have this idea. Maybe I should just speak for myself. Here I go speaking for myself. I think we have the idea that of making something realistic, like from a photograph.
Yep.
Like it has to be photorealistic. And we torture ourselves trying to get to there. And some people do, and do a great job of it, and I'm not knocking photorealistic art, but my focus has always been, if it looks close enough, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. So I think we refer to that as impressionistic.
Totally.
Style.
Yep.
Art. So that's where I started with my watercolors and landscapes, seascapes, florals, buildings, and then more recently, the last 10 years, into animals. And I do pet portraits for people, and
cool.
and their house portraits and things like that. But anyway, I digress. What was my point? So now, realizing that my art has evolved, when I'm not teaching my watercolor or acrylic in an impressionistic style, I like to challenge myself and do abstract.
Okay.
Because I find that the most challenging.
I could see why you would say that. What challenges it? What's the challenge for you?
Well, you never know what it's... I mean, it's so spontaneous. You never know what it's going to become. And I think that's how you have to... I think that's how you ought to realize that that's a big part of the process. Just being willing to keep changing it until you get something that feels good and right to you.
Yeah.
You know, using obviously all of the classic rules of art design, because it's all there. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's now something that you really can't say what it is.
Yeah.
It's more of a feeling.
It's almost like that process is, it's like trying to match what you're putting on the page with what you're feeling inside. And you can feel it click mm-hmm. when it happens.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, there it is. It's done. Even though it's not of anything.
Right.
Except for this feeling I have.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Abstract art is so cool in that way. Impressionism's kind of like that too, though, because mm-hmm. you're painting the feeling of looking at the thing as opposed to exactly what the thing is.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So we're sitting in your studio here, and there's a lot of animals, like you said. There's also lots of landscapes and things like that. And if the people who are listening were sitting here with us looking, you'd know exactly what I'm saying, because you get the impression of the animal, and then you get that bigger feeling that's involved with the way the animal's interacting with the background, the way that the animal themself has been painted. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? The techniques that you're using to paint them, is it going to make it feel more soft? Does it feel more like it has a lot of edges, kind of? Yeah. You know what I mean? I can see this in all your work around us that I'm looking at right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And that's one of the hard things to get across to some people that are just starting out, because they start out thinking that it has to be so realistic. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, you know, the sky doesn't always have to be blue, and the grass doesn't have to be just green.
Yep.
You know,
no, definitely. I wish people could be here in your studio right now looking, because there's so many examples of this, but it works in such a cool way. I'm looking at one where there's five or six sailboats on what looks like a lake or a bay, and behind them, maybe two-thirds or more of them is the sky, which is mostly clouds, and then right behind them is a tree line that is purple, and it's reflecting purple on the water that they're in.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful, and I mean, I've never seen purple trees like that, you know what I mean?
But and
I
you really probably like never across. Will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's your world, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That you painted.
Right.
That's I like that.
I like to play with colors. That's I think that's the big kick that most artists get it.
Yeah.
You know.
That's awesome. That's great. So can I ask, when was the first moment when you realized, I'm an artist, I want to be an artist, I like doing this?
When was the first moment? You know, I think that's something that we struggle with. A lot of artists are afraid to, for some reason, to admit that, okay, I'm an artist. You know, and that's one of the things, too, that I try to encourage in my students. They'll say, oh, you know, I'll tell them how wonderful they did. I mean, they're taking a few lessons, and they end up doing something that's pretty good, I think is frameable. And they'll say, oh, no, I'm not an artist. And I said, well, you are now, you know, it's good enough.
Yeah.
So it's this idea that it's good enough. Matter of fact, I have a quote that I love, that to live a creative life, we must lose our fear of being wrong or not good enough type thing.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And that really, when I saw that, I said, you know, I like that.
Yeah.
It really.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
There's a book called The Art of Fear, and it's all about that struggle that most artists have with fear.
Yep.
It's a huge part of being an artist.
It really is.
You know, it's a really good book too.
We're our worst critics.
Oh, by far. And you see all the mistakes and what you've done that no one else would ever notice.
Yep.
You see things that aren't mistakes and you think of them as mistakes. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same with music too. I play music and I do the same thing with music. So
Yeah.
That's a great answer to that question. So go on to the next one. What inspires you now? What kind of... Yeah.
I would say almost everything, because, you know, I live here and work here in this beautiful seaside town with the Atlantic Ocean as my front yard. And I'm a gardener as well, and I love to grow plants, vegetables, flowers. And I just, you know, it's ever changing, especially the sky and the water. And the seasons, obviously, here, and I like to paint all the seasons. I tend to paint, especially when I'm doing my landscapes, I tend to paint the season that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when we're in Florida, I'm painting winter scenes with my Florida students.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't really want to do this, Mike.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
We got away from the snow.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's funny. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So anyway,
that's kind of cool though. So would you maybe like go and you'd find images that you guys would all collectively do together? Do you do it out of your imagination?
Sometimes, basically it's up to me. Since we're all doing the same subject, I find it easier to, you know, say, this is what we're doing today and this is how we're going to do it step by step. And I do give them room for exploring or options to try other things. And then I also have a more experienced watercolor class that I teach also, and I let them do their own thing more.
Cool.
We don't have to do the paint along style.
You're more like a guide in that situation.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
I just keep circling the wagons and make sure that you know, I have to put out any fires.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Wait, stop. Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's funny. There you go. So if you think you could describe it, which is probably a hard, I made these all the hardest questions you could ask an artist, basically. But would you say your style, your art, your approach to everything has changed from when you really started to find yourself an artist to where you are now?
Oh yeah. I'm much looser, much more carefree. I'm not worried about making a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think once you get a handle on the techniques and a good idea about color harmonies and, you know, all the things that make art, there's so much room for exploring. And and kind of being spontaneous. So having been, exposed to abstract art, I had a really good teacher several years back, Edward Minchin, and we would do a full sheet, he would do as a demonstration, a full sheet watercolor in the morning, and we'd paint, and then he'd do a full sheet abstract and in the afternoon, and he pulled out these incredible pieces of art that he had done, and that's when I just was like, I gotta figure out how to do this, you know, I just so emotionally attracted to it, mm-hmm. the colors and the shapes and the freedom of it. So I think that's, you know, as much as I love doing something that's impressionistic and you know what it is, I think allowing myself to experiment and with my abstract work has really improved my other work.
That makes total sense, actually, because, I get that, because the abstract work helps you access a visual representation of your feelings, and an impressionist work is a representation of how it felt to see what you're painting. Mm. So if you can access your feelings with visual representations more easily, then your impressionist work would get better, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
really cool. I think,
yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
I think so.
Then I guess we'll move on to the next one. You mentioned you've done teaching, you do work down in Florida, you do work up here. What's sort of like the trajectory of your career looked like?
Well, I used to exhibit a lot once I started winning awards, and I was juried into the New England Watercolor Society, and I was involved with that group for quite a long time, and was on the board with them, and started exhibiting nationally. I was told that was how you make your mark. And so anyway, my biggest claim to fame was that one of those times I got accepted into a nationally juried show at the American Watercolor Society.
Oh, okay.
Because almost every city, and this is the New York City, their headquarters is in New York City. So I started applying and sending slides. Back then it was all slides, maybe it still is. But one of my abstracts got accepted and I traveled. It also got accepted into a traveling show and traveled around the across the nation for over a year.
That's awesome.
So that was a big highlight.
What piece was that?
It was a piece I call Universal Web. It's hanging in our dining room. I'll point that out to you if you like.
Yeah, totally.
Later, but you know, it's almost a full time job, shipping paintings around, and expensive as well. So I tend to do that a lot less. I tend to exhibit more locally than nationally.
And is that where you generally, that's where you're finding, I don't know what the word I'm really looking for is, but like, that's where your career is kind of like worked towards, is you're going more on the local level, that's where you're finding more business and stuff like that?
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I'm not really heavily into exhibiting or selling my work as much as, I think my teaching is my biggest thing, focus right now.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe someday that'll change. You know, I'm also juried into the South Shore Art Center. I'm a gallery artist there, so I exhibit with them. They're in Cohasset. You probably are aware of that.
Yeah, South Shore
Art Center.
Yep.
And so I exhibit with them as often as I can. And here in Hall, we have a group called the Hall Artists, and we have a open studio tour, usually twice a year.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so there's probably 30 or more artists that open up their homes and studios.
This studio we're in right now?
Yes.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. We produce a map and
Okay.
And we get sponsors here in town and other towns, and they have examples of each of the artwork and their location and what to expect. So the public can kind of plan where they want to.
That's cool. For anybody listening, check this out next year, because yeah, this is super cool. I've never even heard of this.
Exactly, yeah.
23rd annual.
It's usually the weekend around the 4th of July. It's usually the weekend after the 4th of July.
Okay.
On Saturday and Sunday. And then, it's usually the third week in August as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, check that out, everybody. That's really cool.
So that won't happen until next July,
year, yeah.
But...
Well, it's worth checking out, because if you haven't been in the studio yet, it's like, you got to see this. This is a magical little room we're in right now. It's not very little, actually. It's a magical room. It's awesome.
Thank you.
So that's really cool to think. I mean, it's an awesome trajectory. Like, you went from basically not thinking that it was going to be a career to teaching, to like having stuff exhibited, and then coming back around with all your experience and really landing on teaching is mm-hmm. such an awesome way to do it, because mm-hmm. there you go, you're gonna teach so many people to make cool art and be able to express themselves.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, that's so great. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I gotta ask you, whether it's as like as an artist or as a teacher, in your career, what's one of your proudest moments you've had?
Well, I think what I just said to you, basically getting that traveling show going across the nation, that's probably one of the top things. I guess it's just, I feel blessed. I have so many wonderful students that come back year after year and want to do art with me when I'm in their location.
That's something to be proud of for sure.
You know, and you know, I guess when I was just doing watercolor, I started studying. When I was working full time, I would go and take a week long painting workshop with some nationally known artist. And it turns out that all of these people, Tony Van Hassel, Judy Wagner, all these people that I studied with, not all of them, but most of them would have a summer home in New England. And then they would go to Florida and teach in the winter time. And I thought, wow, what a lifestyle. And just never dreamed it would be me doing that.
Oh, that's
well.
So awesome.
So it's I feel so blessed that I'm able to do that.
You get to come up here and get inspired by the area and the beauty and the history.
Yes.
And go down there and be comfortable and not deal with the winter up here.
Right, right. Hang out in my shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah,
all winter long.
Not shovel.
Right, right. Don't miss it.
That's so great.
Don't miss it.
So are there any other stories from across your career, anything like that you think you'd want to share?
I think the other stories that I already mentioned about my students not feeling like they're good enough, I think that gives me a lot of joy when I'm able to encourage them to, that you are good enough and just keep doing it. We're like we mentioned before, artists are so hard on themselves.
No, yeah. So what sort of work are you doing right now? What are you working on right now?
Well, I just finished a house commission for somebody here.
Oh, great.
I put their dog in it. She wanted, and what did I do with it? So this is a watercolor that I
Oh, the dog.
Did
I love
today.
This. This is great. You just did this today?
Yeah.
So what we're looking at right now is just a very stereotypically New England house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A nice tiny little dog sitting in the front steps.
Guarding
this is awesome.
The property.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Do you have a name for this? Do you name these sorts of
pieces?
No.
I don't name the commission pieces.
Leave it up to them.
Yeah. Right.
So. That's really cool. Well, are there any upcoming events, places people can see your work? Anything you want to plug?
Well, like I said, the Hull Artists Open Studio Tour next July around the 4th weekend. Other than that, it's my website. If you're interested in seeing lots of examples of my watercolors, acrylic work, commission work, a list of my teaching schedule, where I am, and you know, how long the class is and where it's going to be at my website, Michael Domina Studios, plural, .com. And when I named my studio, I don't know how many years ago, I said Michael Domina Studios, and I don't know why, but it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I have a studio here, I have a studio in Florida, and I have a studio in Vermont.
Oh, you also have a studio in Vermont.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I have an old, where I grew up in Vermont, when my folks retired off of the dairy farm, they bought a little house in the village, and it came with this 100-year-old horse barn, which my mom was only going to use for storing her gardening tools.
Oh, okay.
And it had a dirt floor and the rickety set of stairs going up to the second floor. And so I put a little money into that and put in a floor and better stairs and brought electricity in. And I have three workshops that I do there during the summer.
Oh, that's cool. Up way north up there?
Way north.
That's really nice.
Hometown called Montgomery Center. It's near Jay's Peak if you're
totally.
A skier.
Yeah, I have a friend that lives right near there. I go visit sometimes.
Yeah.
He's in Montpelier.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, who knew?
Well, great. All right, Michael, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you,
Desmond. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.